So again, Merry Christmas. Again, we are a church that does not just celebrate Christmas for one day or even for, a few weeks beforehand. As soon as we're done with Thanksgiving, we go to the all Christmas carol music. The biggest pet peeve of mine of the Christmas season is that Christmas night on Christian radio, you couldn't hear a Christmas carol. I was so irritated. My wife and I were driving home from my parents. We put on we're a blessed city, really. We have three Christian radio stations that you can listen to at any time, and not one of them was playing a Christmas carol. It was driving me nuts. I mean, come on, guys, it's Christmas night. They're a Christian station. They're three Christian stations. Shouldn't they know that Christmas goes for 12 more days? No, they were just playing regular, plain old Christian music. How frustrating. And of course, all of the secular stations that had switched over to Christian music, Christmas music, they were all done with that. They couldn't wait to stop, and, well, I couldn't wait for them to stop either, but never mind that. So, by the way, I encourage all of you to continue to greet people with Merry Christmas at the checkout lines, at the drive-thrus, as you take your, get your groceries, get your drive-thru, you have a nice day. You too, Merry Christmas. You've got that for about another week now. I encourage you to do so, one, because it's correct, two, because it confuses people. I enjoy both of those things. Now, I'm sure that if you listened to those Christmas carol stations throughout the holiday season, at some point in time, you probably heard one version, and it was probably a parody of the 12 Days of Christmas. And there's been a billion remakes of this, and some of them are really funny, and most of them are not, but we all know on the 12 days of Christmas, my true love gave to me, five golden rings on the fifth day and all that kind of stuff. But the fact is that the 12 days of Christmas go from Christmas Day till the Epiphany on January 6th, and today is the eighth day. All right, you can do it on your fingers, I guarantee it's the eighth day. I double checked, okay? Today is the eighth day. And if you were a faithful Jew, that was when you had your sons circumcised, okay? Which means that today was the day which Jesus, having been born on December 25th, Mary and Joseph would have taken Jesus to have him circumcised, okay? Now, it is also part of the Jewish tradition that at what's now called a bris, which is actually derived from the Jewish word berit, which is the word for covenant. If you have a language that's been around for, 6,000 years, words that start off as berit can end up bris. These things, at this bris, you not only had the child circumcised and put him under the covenant, but once he was under the covenant, you gave him a name. So this is why, when we read in the gospel today, and when 8 days were completed for the circumcision of the child, his name was called Jesus, the name given him by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. Now, this is kind of funny that Luke should point this out, because Luke does not normally pay attention to these particularly Jewish details. This is something that Matthew normally pays attention to. But Luke points this out. Luke points out that on the eighth day, they named him Jesus. Now, this wasn't like, hey, as soon as he was born, they did this. They waited till he was circumcised. They waited till he was a part of the covenant. And then they called him Jesus. Now, there's an interesting thing about the name Jesus. Jesus was a Greek version of a Jewish name. The Jewish name was Joshua. Now, we know, we may not think about it very often, but we know that when you go from one language to another, names kind of change, okay? We live in a community that's heavily influenced by Latino culture. We have all sorts of street names that have Latino names, like San Juan, which is a version of St. John. There's a whole neighborhood called San Marco, which is the Latino form of Saint Mark, okay? We know that when you go from English to Spanish, the names change slightly, but not a whole lot. Well, going from Hebrew to Greek, there were some kind of significant changes, okay? And Jesus was the Greek version of Joshua, okay? There's all sorts of language differences that could explain why this happened. It's kind of technical and not particularly interesting. But Joshua in Hebrew goes to Jesus in Greek. Okay, trust me on this. But the interesting thing was that Joshua, the spy who wandered off into the promised land to scout out what Moses told him to go see, the one who came back with Caleb and said, no, we can do this. He wasn't originally called Joshua, if you remember. He had his name changed. When he came back, he got his name changed. Originally, his name was Hosea, which meant salvation. And he said, no, we're going to call you something different now. We're going to call you Joshua, which was basically Yahweh saves. The Lord saves. And so when they called him Jesus, they were calling him the Greek form of Joshua, which is the Lord saves. Now that's something to just reflect on for a moment. You know, not only is he, and as we talked about this a couple weeks ago, he is God with us. He is the Word made flesh, God incarnate, the Lord amongst us. But he is also more than just salvation. He is God saving us. This is a fantastic truth. God became flesh to save us. But it even goes deeper than that. Becomes more profound than that. And of all the passages that we could see for our Old Testament reading, it's kind of like all the praise and worship songs that we could hear for the Feast of the Holy Name. We get this one from the Old Testament, Numbers 6:22. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to Aaron and his sons, saying this, this is the way you shall bless the children of Israel. Say to them, the Lord bless you and keep you, the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you, the Lord lift up the light of his countenance upon you and give you peace. So they shall put my name on the children of Israel, and I will bless them. Okay, now this is what's referred to as the Aaronic blessing, named after the high priest Aaron. Okay? And this was the way that the high priest and those after him blessed the children of Israel, well, down to the present day. In fact, they would bless him with the name of the Lord, and the high priest, ultimately, to this day, the rabbis, and you know, I use it at all sorts of services. They would hold up their hands over the people. They would put their hands like this. And they would bring their hands together. And that was a sign language sign that represented the Hebrew letter Shem, which was the first letter for the Hebrew word name. Because the Hebrew word for the name of God was so holy, they didn't want to ever talk it. They didn't want to say it. It was one of those, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord God in vain. So they didn't ever want to say it. So they would hold their hands like that, and they would hold it up like that. And that was literally putting the name of God over the people. Now, if any of you are big sci-fi fans, you might recognize this. Let me be the first to wish you a live long and prosperous new year. In fact, those of geek culture will recognize that both William Shatner and Leonard Nimoy were faithful Jews growing up. And Leonard Nimoy, at one point in time, looked up and saw the rabbi blessing his family like this. And years later, when Gene Roddenberry said, give some sort of alien greeting, he went, well, what am I supposed to do? And so when the person came up, he went, live long and prosper, and it stuck. And for 50 years since, people have been using that as this sci-fi greeting that comes from the ancient Hebrew blessing that's been used for thousands of years. So, but consider this. God says, in this way I will put my name upon them. Because if you listen closely here, if you go and you look at this blessing, it's Numbers chapter 6, verses 22 through 27. It says, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you. The Lord lift up the light of his countenance upon you and give you peace. And if you read it there, where it says Lord, it's Lord in all caps. Capital L, that makes sense. Capital O, capital R, capital D. That's not, hey, we want to be emphatic. You should say this really loud. This is a key to people who are reading it, that this is the word for the name of God. There's all sorts of different words used for God in the Old Testament. But this is what we would use probably incorrectly as Yahweh. This is the name of God. This is when Moses sees God in the burning bush and he says, so who should I say sent me? And God says, I am who I am. It's that word, Yahweh. I am will bless you and keep you. I am will make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. I am will lift up the light of his countenance upon you and give you peace. And I am will put his name upon the children of Israel. He's going to place his name upon you. Okay? Now here's an interesting thing. All those times in John's gospel when Jesus says things like, I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the good shepherd. He's using the same language there that the Greek translations use for the name of God when Moses encounters him at the burning bush. Okay? It's kind of the same thing that you see when at Genesis 22, after Abraham has spared Isaac, where he's taken him up on the mountaintop of Mount Moriah, he's almost plunged the dagger into his son's heart, but God has spared him, and Abraham has named the place, and he has said, this is the place where God has provided, so he named Jehovah Jireh. Right? Jehovah's a horrible word. It's terrible pronunciation, terrible translation. But what it should be is Yahweh. It should be the name of God, which means I am. Which means, and I love it when the prophetic words totally go along with my sermon, because it's like God saying, hey, you're on the right track, kid. Okay. Whew. It means God is your provision. I am your provision. Just like Earl was prophesying this morning, God says, I am your provision. When we hear the name of God as Jehovah Rapha, God who heals, God who raises up, what it means is, I am your healing. When he says, I am the good shepherd, he also says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He also says, I am your provision. I am. His very name means I am your salvation. And he says, I will put my name on you. Now, this is not just, hey, I'm going to call you Christians. Right? Hey, you get to be this, and I'm going to be your God, you're going to be my people. This is a profound thing. St. Paul in Ephesians talks about marriage and says, this is a tremendous mystery. But I say that this represents God and the church. The love between a husband and a wife, the sacrament of marriage, represents the love between God and his church. And the husband and wife become one flesh. God and the church become one. When he puts his name on us, we become united. We are sealed up together. As he gives us his name, he gives us his pastor's heart. He becomes our good shepherd. He becomes our life, our way, our truth. He's our healing. He's our provision. He's our call. Because he has put his name on us as he blesses us. This was not a, hey, when you feel like it, you might want to mention this once or twice. When you bless the people, bless them this way. This is why I use this as the predominant blessing that I use in blessing the people. I really like the Lake George benediction. It's the one that says, God's not mad at you, God will never leave you or forsake you, and the blessing, you know. It's a great blessing. I used it on Christmas Eve because we had a lot of visitors here, and it's a very, very evangelical message that a lot of people need to hear. But the Aaronic blessing is a powerful message, and God said, when you bless the people, bless them this way. Put my name on them. And he did it in a threefold way. Rather Trinitarian. We have this incredible blessing today. There's a lot of people who are really frustrated about the fact that New Year's Day is on a church day, and the getting up early, going to church, not going to church, whatever. It's a tremendous blessing that the first day of the year is the first day of the week that we get to come here, because as I walked in and knelt down at the altar, I said, Lord, consecrate this time to you, however long it takes. Lord, consecrate this year to you. Consecrate our lives to you. Seal up this time. Seal up this year. Put a seal on this. Take the stamp, put the wax on it, pound your hand into it, and put a seal on it. Seal us up with your name. And now is when we get to be all charismatic-y and prophetic-y and all of that, and we get to say, you know what, it is the new year, it is a new time, we have a God who wants to bless us, pour out provision and blessing and health and abundance on us. And so as we are here for this new year and this new time, let's set a seal upon this time. Let's set a seal upon this year. Let's claim health, claim provision, claim blessing, rebuke the devourer, rebuke those things that were against us in the previous year, and call it done. So if you are someone who needs something like that, if you need healing, if you need blessing, if you need provision, if you want to leave something in the back, to cut something that held you back last year, well, you're in church on Sunday, on the first day of the new year. So praise God. The altar is open. We're going to have the priest come up here. Father Ed's going to come up here. Maybe Father Scott. Maybe he's going to be working with the band. I'm not sure. And we're going to be praying for you. So the altar is going to be open, and we're going to be praying for you. So let's go ahead and do that now. Amen? Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.